I am only describing Sankhya's theory. Out of this egoistic principle arise subtle vibrations, vibration which is called sound, vibration by means of which we are able to touch, vibrations by means of which we are able to see, vibrations by means of which we are able to taste, and vibrations by means of which we are able to smell. These are five tanmatras. These are five tanmatras which are at the root of pancha gyanendriyas. These are themselves not gyanendriyas. They are tanmatras. They are the basic stuff, you might say. What is it that makes our eye? What is it that makes our ear? What is hearing itself? It is these vibrations. And these vibrations are actually describable in a kind of a hierarchy. First, the sound. Then, the touch. Then, the sight. Then, the taste. And then, the smell. As the vibrations become more and more concrete, these five ultimately give rise to a combination of five instruments of knowledge. The indriyas, the real gyanendriyas, are subtle elements in us which are located in our organs. The eye is only an organ. The real eye is that which perceives, which sees. And behind these five, there is a real sense. These are five senses, not sense organs, but five senses. And behind these five senses, there is the real sense, which is called mana, manas. So manas is regarded as the sense, the real sense. Either it is called sixth sense, or it is called the sense. Because all the senses ultimately are nothing but specializations of manas. I may have my eyes open, but if my manas is not with the eye, I will not see. Something happens before your eyes, but your mind is elsewhere. So even if your eyes are reflecting the vibrations or visions from outside, you don't see because the mind is not. A mosquito may be biting me here, but if I am talking to you, I may not feel the sense of bite, because the mind is not engaged in it. And the moment my mind gets engaged to it, I begin to sense it. So mind is called, manas is called in the Sankhya psychology, the real sense. So manas, then comes the five tanmatras. Which are the basis of pancha gyanendriyas. And similarly, there are grosser organs. These are pancha gyanendriyas, but there are five karmendriyas by which we are able to act. The hands, the feet, the tongue by which we can speak, the speech. Regenerative organ, an organ for evacuation. These are the five karmendriyas. Regenerative organ and the organ of evacuation. Now, according to the Sankhya, all this is nothing but pure force or energy . It is purely material. Prakriti, according to Sankhya, is a principle of matter. They tried to explain everything in the world in terms of matter. You might say they were our great materialists, Sankhyan thought, thinkers. They tried their utmost to explain everything in terms of matter. But they could not. After all the effort, they could not explain the experience of consciousness. No, consciousness is experienced in three ways. Stable state of consciousness, of awareness, pure, which is called witnessing consciousness, which has no movement in it. It is also experienced by us as the enjoyer. Enjoy pleasure, enjoy suffering. But all this is called enjoyer. It is also experienced as the karta. But both enjoyer and bharta and karta, both these experiences are subordinate. The fundamental experience of consciousness is that of a stable witnessing. Its very nature is awareness. They found that whatever analysis you make of the world, you cannot ultimately explain this experience of witnessing. There is this experience of witnessing. This particular experience of witnessing cannot be explained by any movement of material organs or senses or whatever.
What is intuition?
It is, you may define it in whatever you like, but the best thing is to keep to the Sankhyan terminology, namely Sakshi Bhava. The witnessing consciousness. This you cannot explain by whatever materialistic formula you have. That is why they were led to conclude that there must be something other than matter. They tried their best to explain everything in terms of matter, but they could not explain this particular experience, witnessing consciousness. They affirm that there is such an experience of witnessing, which knows that it is witnessing. A self-awareness, awareness that is aware of itself. Now, whatever manipulation you make of buddhi, ahankara, manas, gyanendriyas, karmendriyas, nowhere can you explain this experience of witnessing. Therefore, they were obliged to say that apart from material force, there is a consciousness. They were obliged to posit it. One of the methods of philosophical reasoning is that you should try to explain everything as far as possible by as few principles as possible. When you try to explain anything, this is called the principle of parsimony. P-A-R-S-I-M-O-N-Y, parsimony. Try to explain maximum with the minimum number of principles. If you are obliged to speak of many principles, it means that your analysis is not as perfect as it ought to be. So, applying this principle of parsimony, the Sankhya thinker explains almost everything in the world in terms of one material force of Prakriti. But when they could not explain this experience of witnessing self, witnessing consciousness, then they were obliged to posit a second principle, that apart from Prakriti, there is Purusha. There is a conscious being. And then they were obliged to say there is not one Purusha, but there are many Purushas. This was a further demand of the situation. Why? Because when one Purusha is in the state of witnessing consciousness, it does not mean that another one also arises at the same state of consciousness. I may be in a witnessing state of consciousness. If there is only one Purusha, then the moment I become witness, everybody should become witness because there is only one Purusha. But such is not the case. I may be in a state of witnessing, you may be in a state of enjoying, another may be in the state of doing. Therefore, there being different states, therefore there must be for each individual one special Purusha. They would have tried their best to say there is only one Purusha, that would be the principle of parsimony, but that one principle could not explain these differences of experiences. Therefore, it was obliged to posit many Purushas. So there are many Purushas. Now, there was a third reason why there was a need to posit Purusha. If you remember, I said that in the beginning, the Prakriti is avyakta, it is unmanifest. It is in a state of equilibrium.